Smiling Faces the Podcast is a Defiantly Me production. To learn more, visit them on Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions.
Why you like me so much? Like, you almost get suspicious. After a while, you're like, who have you dated before? Because you real nice. What's happening?
We went over this before. He is playing well above his level, and he fucking knows it.
Yeah.
Because no dude that thinks that he's playing above his level is going to sit down and massage your ovaries.
Right.
I'm just being real.
Yes. I'm so
no dude is going to be like, yeah, come here, girl. Even though I know you're not on my level, let me massage these ovaries.
Maybe she'll let me do this.
No one's going to do that.
Oh, my gosh. Fair.
Welcome back to Smiling Faces, the podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano. We are the executive producers of Smiling Faces, our hit show about two girls who discover they're dating the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations and answer the question, instead of self-care, why not revenge?
Also, you know what I realized? I think that, you know, we're enough episodes in now that like people who maybe didn't start from the beginning don't realize that this really happened to you. And like, interesting, different for me, but also like we both were cheated on in this like horrific way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird. You guys should go back. Learn our lore of what's going on here. Right?
Lore.
There's been some drama, and you should hear the ins and outs of the drama. How we got here. But just know that the way that we react to the things is being petty. So here we are.
That's right. If not, or instead of self-care, why not revenge? Which is its own form of self-care.
It is, because truly the release of rage, because I think I've said this, that my mom like raised me on the book by Louise Hayes about like acknowledging your feelings because they show up as physical manifestations. So I don't like to hold things in because like, I think my mom had me thinking like, oh no, if I hold in my feelings, I'll get cancer. Like, I don't know. So I'm always just like, nope, gotta say it.
You know, I don't think you've ever mentioned this before. What is this book? No. What were you raised on? Oh, what is this philosophy? Yeah.
So yeah, this woman, Louise Hayes, like wrote all these books. And so like, if you say have like a headache or a sore throat or anything, then there's like an emotional attachment to each thing. So like it was very like new agey of my mom to do this. But if I ever was like, oh man, my throat's sore. She's like, throat sore. Interesting. And she like flipped the book. She goes, do you feel like you're not being heard as you speak? And I'm like, maybe. Or it could have been that I was just screaming outside. I don't know.
Wait, now I want this book and I want to be like, what ails you? I'm a little stuffy. Like, I've been a little congested. I caught a little bug over the weekend from one of my favorite families. I was with their kiddos all weekend and I caught just a little tiny like kid bug. You know, children are just covered in germs.
They always are.
Oh, I just caught just a tiny bug, little congestion, just a little bit of congestion. But I'm like, ooh, what does that mean?
Listen, it could be the kids, or it could be that you can't sense your own power or whatever the fuck.
I can't sense my own power.
There's always
like
something.
What's ailing you?
Yeah, it's so intense, but that's a big one. Louise Hayes, man.
What's ailing me? Birdie's ailing me. I love her.
The lack of sleep. No sleep.
Okay, lack of sleep. Or are you haunted by the unrequited goals in your life?
Oh, I'm always haunted by those unrequited goals. I got plenty of goals and they're awfully unrequited. Use that word?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Can things be requited?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Listen, can you look it up? Now I need to know the dictionary definition of requited. Requited.
Okay. Let's
look it up. Yeah.
While you're looking at, we have goals. Should we talk about our goals? Should we talk about what's happening with the show and the goals that we?
Yeah. So we've made an executive decision. We are shooting a couple scenes from Ye Olde Pilot, and we're using those for the crowdfunding of it all, but also to give you guys little snippets of what the show is like so you can see sense of humor and tone and style and all that good stuff so that the people watching are more inclined to be like, you know what? I've been listening to these cats for a while and I've seen some things, but now I really see some things. Let me slank some money their way. I want to see this whole shebang. So we're going to get those out there. So we've been scouting. Well, actually, talk about using resources because, yes, as you all know, I'm working at and training at a Legree studio, and the people are dope and the studio locations are great. And we kind of got to talking. We're like, wait, why not? You have access to a studio. It's not a spin studio, but it's a studio. Why not shoot there? And I was like walking around one morning for a very early practice and just kind of went, huh, let me film this real quick.
And it's filmed good.
Show them. Yeah.
It's so good. You want to know something funny? I actually was over there on that side of town. I was there. I was at the studio, that your studio that you sent us pictures of. Mm-hmm. I was there today a couple hours ago.
So was Mike.
Getting a wax. So, were you getting a wax too, Mike?
I wasn't. Next door. I wasn't doing that. I was getting bunt cakes and Jamba Juice. I was doing that.
That you were there. What time were you there? Because we might have been there at the same time.
No. I was there this weekend.
Oh, never mind.
Me and Lucy went to Nothing Bunt Cakes because I love their bunt cakes. And then I went and got Jamba Juice. So that's what we did Saturday.
Wait, tell me, were you requited?
Requited. Make appropriate return for a favor, service, or wrongdoing. That is the definition of requited.
Mm. Make a return for a favor. Okay. Huh. So you can requite.
You can requite. Yes. Did not know okay. that. Yeah.
I'm going to try to use that as like a verb now, because I know it's always like unrequited, like as an adjective, but I'm going to start requiting people.
Yeah. Requite them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so if you requite them, then that means that you have given them a favor?
You make a it's like return a favor to someone. Yeah. Is requite.
I'm going to acknowledge and be like, I'm now requiting your favor.
All day at work.
It weird.
I requited all day today at work. I did so much requiting.
Damn. I didn't. I unrequited a lot of.
what's funny is this, it says similar, avenge, exact revenge, revenge, retaliate for.
Now that one I did do.
It's similar to those things. Require.
I 1000% got my supervisor in trouble.
You did?
I honestly didn't like mean to, but now that we're here,
we're here, yeah.
Because I made like a slick comment because she left early yesterday from work and again on Friday. And one of the people who keeps track of people's PTO was like, oh, they left. I was like, yep, that's fine. Also on Friday. So I'm not mad about it. And she was like, interesting. She didn't put off time off in it. I went, oh, really?
Oh,
she didn't? Fascinating. Well, no. See you tomorrow.
Doing damage, going home, making
pay. Right. Shouldn't have snitched on me.
No, good for you. Oh, I like this. Like, okay, where else are we requiting? Because it's getting revenge. We're getting revenge. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. We're requiting all definitely. Over the place.
We are requiting all over the place. Yeah.
But yeah. But shooting. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I was just going to talk about requiting. No, we should talk about shooting. Which is, in essence, its own form of requiting, because this whole project is a tiny way of, you know, maybe sticking it to the man, quite literally, that... Mm-hmm. Really inspired all of this happening and us coming together. Maybe there's something positive about cheating after all. You bring people together in bitterness and revenge.
As my eyes just bulge out of my sockets.
I don't know if I'm ready to make that. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to make that connection, but I see where you were going with that. I followed you.
Thank you.
I'm on the journey. Yes, there was a, we got a positive out of the bullshit.
If it wasn't for your ex deciding to date you and the other girl at that unnamed spin studio, mm-hmm. you and I maybe wouldn't even be sitting here. Mike wouldn't be sitting here. And this if my true. Ex-husband Who? Didn't screw around with two of his coworkers, like, this is what's brought us together.
Fair. I mean, we knew each other. I feel like we would have at least met each other anyway for like the work of it all, because yes. you and I met what rap party of Black-ish that night. That was the first
you
time we met.
Remember.
Of course, Claddle.
Oh, my love. He fell so hard that yeah. night. I remember being like, oh, this girl is so cool.
Yes. Okay. That was our first meeting. I was like, oh, I like her.
Yes. I was like, how has she not come across my path before? Because I'm so in. And I remember that night. Of course, I remember what I wore, which was this like fabulous shawl, beaded shawl over this like tube dress. Mm-hmm. It was so fabulous because and it was the first time I had worn it that way. I was like, I want to wear this, but I don't know how to wear it. And I remember wearing it and being so 1A, so fabulous. 1A, sure. 1B. Thinking, I was just like, ah, yes, these are fabulous humans that I met that night. And I just knew. Like, and then we reconnected oh, yeah. for Grown-ish, right?
Yes. And then, mm-hmm. yeah, at Grown-ish was when we reconnected. And I was like, oh, yeah, from Black-ish, from the party.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And then you brought yes. Mike on. You're like, I know a guy. You need PAs. I know a dude. And I was like, yes. hell yeah, bring him on over.
I mean, the truth is, other Lucy, not Lucy, not Mike's Lucy, but Lucy, one of our PAs, when I went, I wanted great production assistants for the show. And so I had asked one of the PAs that I just love, 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 love. I said, hey, I want to bring somebody really quality human in. You know what I'm looking for. Like, I don't care if they have experience. I want a really high quality human being who is not afraid to work and is savvy and, you know, knows how to problem solve. And you were her first and only recommendation, Producer Mike.
Oh, shit.
And that's yeah. how Producer Mike and I met.
I love Lucy. Oh. No pun. Yeah. yeah, no pun intended. Yeah. I love Lucy, but I met Lucy through my buddy Javi, and I know Javi from
Mixed-ish.
Yeah, Javi's my boy from back. We worked at iHeart together. That's how I know Javi from back east.
Shut
so he
up.
He introduced me to Lucy, and that's how I ended up meeting Jess.
It's a small world after all.
You know what yeah. this whole conversation just turned into? You know when you go to a party, but you're somebody's plus one, and then they're just having like a whole rehash of just like all sorts of past events. You're just sitting there just being like, yeah, that's what our listeners are doing right now. They're like, yeah, oh, we're so happy for you. Please continue talking about things we care about.
Yeah. Wow. You guys don't care about Black-ish and Grown-ish and Mixed-ish in the Ish universe? Haters.
Ooh,
but yeah, yeah. Let's see, the filmation of it all. That's yes. what we're talking about, using our resources and things that we have. Yeah.
Which so, we are each other's resources, by the way. This was all a resource. But yeah, that was a big part. It's kind of our hot pro tip again this week, because I think we brought it up last week too, but I cannot scream it loud enough from the heavens. Like, you have everything you need to shoot what you want. And when we looked around and started to think location, what do we need? And then Victoria's like, I'm dying. I'm at the studio every day. I was like, the studio, like a spin studio? And it's not a spin studio, but it's close enough. It's
very close. I mean, we're not, obviously you can't use the actual room because there's like mega formers in there.
Yeah.
But the actual space is really good. It's big. Also, owner's chill, the woman that books the space loves me, which is very key. And this is why yeah. you don't be an asshole at work.
Like unless people are assholes hold, to you. Yeah.
Correct. If they're an asshole yeah. to you, then you can requite them. But
if they're cool,
then you be correct. Cool back. And then look what correct. You can get. Because same thing yes. with the comedy night we did with the What She Said. I used yes. to work at that coffee shop and I was like, hey, can I do a thing there? And they're like, oh, yeah, say when. And that was the end of the conversation.
It was the end of the conversation. They were mm-hmm. like, say when. And then it just blossomed into such a beautiful thing, because not only did we meet six incredible comedians that have now since like Jasmine Ellis was a guest on the podcast. And we've yeah. like just worked with all these amazing people. Kate Novotny read with their table read.
Like, yes, and is now shooting her special and is premiering at Flyover Comedy Festival, which is huge because she, okay, this is also tip, bet on yourself, because I feel like the universe opens up when you bet on yourself, because she was super duper scared to do it. And she was like, I don't want to spend all this money and do all this stuff on my own. I was like, you won't regret it. Fucking go. So she booked out spaces to do like rehearsal runs of her half hour. And then she booked a space initially to do it. And she kept applying to Flyover Comedy Festival over and over again. They're always like, maybe next year. And we're like, no. Randomly this year, now that she's bet on herself and was going to film her special, they hit her up and we're like, hey, we'd like to have you on. And we noticed that you're shooting your half hour, but it's the same weekend as Flyover. Do you want us to produce it?
No way.
Yes. So she said,
do you want us to produce it?
Yes. They just announced it today, the day of our filming this episode. But yes, they just announced it today. So she's going to fly, or she's going to tape her half hour at Flyover Comedy Festival. Oh. She's on the roster with like Aziz Ansari and Kyle Kinane and Dulce Sloan and all these people. It's like, fuck yeah, Katie.
Okay.
I'm so excited for her.
Get it, girl. Yeah. If you're not following Kate Novotny, go drop everything and follow her, because she is, I would say, one of the funniest people I've met this year.
Liz, I'm saying she's hilarious. Yeah. I keep telling her that. She's like, oh, that's kind of you. You're biased. I'm like, I'm not.
Nope.
I'm not biased.
Sometimes I'm biased and I tell my friends, well, I'm saying this because I love you. And I believe that when I love somebody, that's just the case. But sometimes like I have a friend who is truly the most beautiful woman on the planet. On the planet. There's not a prettier, more beautiful human being. And by the way, inside and out. But I'm talking about the outside right now. And we tell her all the time. We're like, listen, you do not understand. When you walk past strangers, they literally are like... yes. They just like drop their jaw, turn their head. And she cannot hear it or understand it. She just like... And I just say, this is not me being nice. This is just truth.
These are just facts.
Yes, these are just
facts. You are just gorgeous, Toots. You're going to have to deal with it.
Yes, and she hasn't dealt with it. And listen, madam is over 35. It's time. Deal with your beauty.
Yeah, take it in. Take it in.
Yeah,
I love that.
Okay, speaking of dealing with fabulousness and beauty, is it time for a Whole Foods check-in?
You know. Things are, I'll say things are interesting. They're good, but they're interesting. We have we have a lot of conversations now, but I think I hit a moment. For the most part, things are very good. There's a couple of times where I'm like, ugh, when you open your mouth, you kind of bum me out. But, I've kind of told him as much. I'm like, we're just not going to talk about certain things because you're going to make me mad. Yeah. Which are typically like almost like the same topics that you talk about, you know, like in a mixed environment. So like if you're at work and they're like, oh, don't talk politics and religion. Like we're on the same wavelength for religion of it all. But the politics, I've realized, not as bad as, oh God, I forgot his name. Not as bad as Mufasa.
Mufasa.
Not as bad as Mufasa. That was a, you need to leave, like, don't pass go, don't collect $200, like exit. But. Yeah.
His is
more so, I don't know if I've told him that. I was like, I don't know if you're just like being a contrarian, like what's going on with you? But we have some very differing opinions. He's like, but we have a lot in common. I'm like, do we? Like on some of these topics, do we? That's been kind of tricky lately. But I will say the other stuff is really cool because definitely, listen, we're oversharing now. I started my period and we were supposed to go on a hike the morning after I started my period. And I was like, fam, I ain't got it in me.
No,
I really don't. And
we're
he was like,
doing that.
Yeah, I was like, especially before work, I'm not doing that. No. And he was like, no, I totally get it. Fine. And then he goes, are you cramping really bad? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, come here. And he literally spread his legs so I could sit like in between his legs. And he just like put his hands on like where my ovaries were and just massaged it for me. He's like, does this help? I went, it does. It does. Thank you.
Wow. You got an ovary massage?
I did.
Not in a sexual way.
I know. Because typically quiet as is kept with that one all the time, ready. And I'm like, you've got to leave me be. There's some moments where I'm like, I just want to be at peace one time. May I sleep in without you touching me once?
Love when you talk about this.
Like, I've literally told him, like, I'm weary, please.
Sir, full hand up, sir.
Yeah, no. Like, we've had talks about it. I'm like, you clearly need sex more than me, I would say. And he was like, I don't think so. I was like, you don't? When have I ever been like starting it and you're like, hey, cool it? Never. No. It's always me going, hey, can I have a beat?
Just like, just, can I just put my bags down from walking in the door? Just like, right. Casually. Can I finish chewing this sandwich? Do you mind if I wipe my ass after this?
I just
need a minute to wipe my ass and like, put back on.
Truly, I've never seen anyone turn everything like sexual in my life. It's fascinating. Like anything I'm doing, like it's like I almost have like when I have him over, I feel like there's a voyeur in my home because like I'll just go and be like, doing something and I'll just feel watched and I'll look and like the listeners aren't going to catch this, but if you're watching a clip, then like all of a sudden I'll just see like from around the corner, like half his face just like. Like smiling, and I'm like, do you mind?
I'm trying to put milk in my cereal.
Right. I'm like, I'm just trying to live. Like, I'll pee, and he's like, just staying in the doorway, going, nice. I'm like, go.
No, sir. Move along. Get a hobby.
Like, please. It's crazy. It's so crazy.
I mean, yeah. I love how into you he is. That's really beautiful. It's really beautiful.
This is true. Very yeah, much
that's
so.
Like, again, more green flags. Like, he's yeah. just so into you, which no explanation needed. Like, obvi, right? You know, bless. But yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just beautiful.
It's something to take in, especially when you've been as, been played as much as this one. You're kind of like, you good? Why you like me so much? Like, you almost get suspicious. After a while, you're like, who have you dated before? Because you real nice. What's happening?
We went over this before. He is playing well above his level and he fucking knows it.
Yeah.
Because no dude that thinks that he's paying playing above his level is going to sit down and massage your ovaries.
Right.
That's I'm being fair. Real. You're, I'm just no, being real.
Yes. I'm so
no dude is going to be like, yeah. Come here, girl. Even though I know you're not on my level, let me massage these ovaries.
Maybe she'll let me do this.
No one's going to do that.
Oh my gosh. Fair. Very fair.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say that's the main Whole Foods update. Oh, and he's coming because as you know, I do practice hours to prep for my Legree training and he wants to try it. So he was like, wait, so you just go to the studio by yourself and do what? I was like, oh, I say the routine out loud. I go through it to like figure out how to like describe doing everything. And he was like, I want to try it. Can you practice on me? So he's coming with me to the studio tonight and he's going to try Legree and I'm going to see.
I'm
going to
pray for that, brother. Yeah, I'm going to pray for him.
Listen, I've done it. I'm also going to pray for him.
Yeah. Fair. I was like,
pray for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be something.
Okay. Now I have to ask this because you're like beyond 90 days. You're 3 months into this. What are you going to do with this man?
Right.
So much on the spot.
Yeah. Honestly, still, it's so weird because I feel like I've never been, I was so intentional about, oh, I've got to, like, I'm looking for my person. You got the eggs on ice. You've only got a year left prepaid. Like, let's go. So I'm like trying
I'm
to get
still,
all that
I'm paying on my frozen eggs. Listen, it's not too bad. Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. I'll probably re-up another couple years or something.
Just buy yourself that time, you know? And yeah. Listen, if you don't use them, you can always donate them to science or a relative.
This is true. So maybe something like that. Right. But
yeah,
I weirdly am not, I don't know, feeling intense about I've got to lock this down, which just I don't know if that's good or bad. It's, yeah. I think we both kind of talk about it like, oh yeah, we're kicking it. And he still even says, like, he refers to me as like friend. Like, we don't even do like titles or anything. I'm like, I mean, you've been inside of me a touch too much for friend, but okay.
You know,
I don't know.
Your alarm clock.
I don't do that with my friends, but okay. Sure, homie. Like, I think one time I called him fam and he was like, oh, I'm family. I was like, cool it.
easy, bro.
Pump the brakes. Like, note to self, don't call him fam again.
Yep. You got way too excited about that.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh, I still haven't met. I've talked to his daughter a couple times, though. So that's been a thing.
Oh, you've talked to her. Okay. So she knows you're existing. And
yes. So I'm now Miss V to her when she addresses me, if I'm ever on speakerphone with him. Once he basically said, like, you can call her V, because she said Miss Ma'am. And he was like, no.
Miss Ma'am?
Yeah. She was like, hi, Miss Ma'am. And he was like, no, don't do that. That's weird.
Call her Miss V.
Yeah.
Does she know your name? Does she know?
Yeah. She knows Victoria, but yeah, she goes, Miss V. And I was like, sure.
That's cute.
So there's something.
You called the ma'am. I'm just saying.
I know. This is my doing. I don't know, dude. I don't know how it's so crazy. You always, like, I think it's one of those weird things. I'm trying to like figure out. I'm like, oh, you know, you have like plans of what, like, your life would be and everything, or like what you'd be like, I don't know, who your partner would be, or just all this different stuff. And I'm like, huh, is this it? Is this what I'm doing? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, you have those moments where you're like, is this the path? Is this what I'm doing? I mean, you never know.
It's kind of nice to be chill enough to ask that question of like, is this what I'm doing now? You know, like, because usually, especially like when I was in my early 20s, I was just like, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is how I'm going to get there. This is the path. This is the travel, you know, and anything that I was doing along that way was just like, this is going to get me to where I want to be. But now I'm just, listen, as a woman over 40, it's like, choose your own adventure. You know, I don't know. I'm having a fabulous time. Just
I abandon any of those like ideas in like at 35. Like I just realized that I had to abandon that plan, whatever plan I had for myself, being married, have kids, all that stuff like that before the age of 35. I had to abandon it. And then like, which is a good thing actually, because it opens you up for so much other things and how your life can be and all that stuff like that. I think at 30s is where all your hopes and dreams in your 20s go to die. It sounds morbid, but it sounds dark, but it actually is a freeing thing to realize that you're not putting that same pressure that you put on yourself at in your 20s. Well, I have to do this. I have to make sure I'm here. I have to make sure I'm doing this in order to get to this situation. So some people may look at it as a death sentence when they do that, when they don't reach their goals.
Yeah.
My brother, but some people.
I thought you were actually choking.
Damn,
you were choking on the shade. I didn't realize that. I didn't know it was a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that boy turned 40 and lost his mind. Just because he had so many goals. He had so many goals that he didn't accomplish. There are things that he didn't get to do. He's not rich. Like, there are all these things, and I knew when he turned 40, he was going to have a problem.
Wow.
Because he's just not, he didn't accomplish everything that he wanted to accomplish that he said he wanted to accomplish. And he just, I flipped the switch. I realized that this is how life goes. Like, when you really look around, most people aren't doing what they're doing. The fact that I'm still in somewhat form of broadcasting after going to a class full of people who are in broadcasting school, everyone back to their day jobs.
Damn.
So, and I realized, yeah, most, with the exception of I can probably name three people or whatnot who are actually working in broadcasting or some form of broadcasting, and that were in my class. And so, like, you realize as you get older, some of the things that you planned on in your 20s, like, that's just not how life works. Life comes at you fast and you have to adjust and pivot and do all those other things. And my brother, he doesn't handle that. Yeah, he doesn't do that well. And so he just couldn't adapt to that. Mm-hmm. He still can't adapt. So I will say that is that all those goals that you have in your 20s, some people achieve them and most people don't, to be honest, because the world's different. You look at the world differently in your 20s.
True. Also, I think our specific age group has gone through so many life-shifting, unprecedented times.
Goodness.
It's like, how can one even be like, yes, 9/11, that was the plan.
COVID. Yeah, Afghanistan, like Donald Trump being president. First black president.
Yes, like so many things. So it's a lot. It's a lot.
I mean, you know what's kind of interesting, Mike? You are right. Like, I remember when I got divorced in my 30s, that I was so devastated because I had had a plan for what my marriage would look like. And when my divorce happened, I was devastated for that plan. Like, the grief was the grieving of the life that I thought I was going to have. But what ended up happening is this magical thing, that this impossibility that I never, ever, ever would have imagined, moving out here to Los Angeles on a total whim with no money, like literally $800 in my account. And I had to pay rent with it. Like, the community that I built and the new life that I built. And I was working as an actress for 20 years. I got here to Los Angeles and wanted nothing to do with acting, and yet made television and learned how to make television, which was a childhood dream of mine when I was 11 and I watched Home Improvement and I was like, I want to do that. How do you make a TV show? And I literally remember asking, like, surely people must get paid to do this. And my family didn't know. I remember my mom being like, that's Hollywood. They're just driving around in convertibles, you know, wind blowing in their hair. And I then realized, like, what was it, like 3-4 years ago, I was like, I am making television. This was a dream I didn't even know I could ever even have when I was 11.
Which also kind of full circle moment for that, because the sound stage that Black-ish filmed on is the Home Improvement stage.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucking dope.
Yeah.
I never knew that. Because I worked
at Home. Yeah, you had a full circle moment. Yeah.
I really did. Home Improvement. I remember watching Home Improvement and thinking, like, this is a job people have, and no one in my circle in my tiny town of Michigan knew or understood a single thing about how that worked. Now, I will say this. There's a guy from my high school who I don't speak to, who is a network executive at NBC right now. Nice. As we speak, because he pops up on my Facebook and, like, I saw his picture and then I was like, wait a minute. Oh, but I've never,
like, I know you.
I should have probably reached out and been like, hey, we went to high school. We were buddies in high school, but I've never spoken to him since. But
fair.
So in my small town, you know, it's just very interesting that that happened. But out of the death of the dream of my marriage and my 85 years of, you know, of life with my husband at the time, came a whole world of new dreams that I never even would have begun to imagine.
Gorgeous.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, that does happen then.
Yeah, it does. Well,
like,
and
they
got
new
dreams. I let go of the grip that I had on, like, where I was going to be as a singer and an actress and being on stage and being on Broadway and all that. And I don't feel unfulfilled in that. I feel very fulfilled in my acting career, and was very happy to transition to being producer and a writer, you know. And it's interesting because there are people who haven't quite, you know, they're like, no, as actors, they're like, no, I'm not done. I'm not ready to let go of it yet, because they haven't completed the circle just yet.
Right.
However, and I don't think you have to let go of it until you do. I found a lot of peace in walking away from my acting career, because I was like, I did it. I did everything I wanted to do, you know?
But life evolves, goals evolve.
Yes.
Like, what I wanted in my early 20s and in my early 30s, they changed. Like, I got married at 36 instead of being married at 30. I married Lucy, and then the pandemic happened and we moved to Los Angeles, which was something that was always something that I always wanted to do. Just like Jess, nobody in my circle understood how to work in TV and film. So it was it felt out of reach in those situations. And so, like, maybe I'm able to handle being here now at in my 40s as opposed to what it would look like at 18. So, like, because I've been talking about this.
I think we know what it would have looked like. Mike would have been in his hoe phase.
I was going to say he was going to be a dog.
Yeah, probably. Like, but it goes to show that I needed, like, probably the person I needed to move across the country with was Lucy.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I needed. So yes. That's why I love the Clarks, because they always speak EIP. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be in, like, at this moment in time. So whatever didn't happen, that was supposed to happen so I could be here doing this in this moment with you two. So like, that's just like, that's how life is, man. Like, it's just, it changes, it evolves. And the question is can you adjust and evolve with life? And some people have the ability to do that. And some people can't, AKA my brother, he doesn't have that ability. So it's like, but he's just a stark example, because him and I are so vastly different in how we think about life and the world.
I think you almost have to have that adaptability, especially I think in creative spaces, because the landscape's always changing and there's so many things to do within it. And a lot of it, it can be asking for permission to do the thing. So you almost have to learn how to adapt and find other ways of like actualizing your dreams. And that usually does mean taking on additional roles. Like, I always only saw myself as actor, never like writing, producing any of the things. So you almost like have to... kind
podcast
of be malleable.
Podcaster.
Right?
Aren't you doing a rap artist?
Yep, we are also rappers. I'm basically the 40-year-old version. That movie really... Actually, the movie is fucking dope, but...
Also Pilates instructor.
Yeah, listen, it's Legree.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not Pilates, it's Legree. But yeah, I know. I never would have thought I would have been an instructor either. But in my head, I'm like, that's also very helpful to keep the body strong so I can be dunking on these fools.
That's right. I don't know. That's right.
Stay vigilant. Keep the core strong so you can fight.
Okay. Well, listen, on that, we've got to pivot to smiling faces moment for the week. We must. Have to know what you guys have been grinning and bearing it through. It's my favorite segment. What is your smiling faces moment for the week? I'm going to start with Mike. Ooh. Producer Mike, what's your smiling faces moment of the week? What are you grinning and bearing it through?
Realizing that I take way too much on. That's what I'm realizing. Like, I take a lot on, and this is the first time in a long time that I've felt like I have so much going on, and it's like hard. And then we add the birdie into it. And so like, I'm just, it feels like I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to get get things like back in balance. And so that's kind of what I'm grinning and bearing it through. So just trying to keep the train moving as much as possible and not fucking derail.
That'd be nice.
It's
that is fair.
What about you, Victoria? What are you grinning and bearing it through?
I think I had one in my head, and then I'm not going to hold you. I forgot it. So now we're doing this one. So when we have our practice, not our practice groups, our mock classes where we're teaching everyone Legree and all, and I had this routine down packed, memorized. I knew exactly what I was going to say. I'd been in the studio practicing for hours to prepare to teach this class. When I tell you that I turned that mic on and forgot all my words,
no.
I was so upset. Like, and I would forget like certain things, and then I finally got it back together. And then I would do like the perfect little segue that I had of explaining. And then you're going to like, we have to do it. We call it the systematic setup. You have to say like, okay. And then 15 seconds, you're going to have your hands on the platform, feet on the carriage. You're going to be da 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 da. And 10, 9, 8, 7, the thing, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Do. And just stop. And I just like stared and went, turn. And I literally on mic went, ooh. And then I walked over to like the women in my cohort, because she had her paper of the routine up. And I was like, you're turning around for, show me your paper, show me your paper, show me your paper. Mini spoon. Like,
Was this on the microphone? So like, can people not hear you?
Out loud. Yep.
Show me your paper. Show me your paper.
I was like trying to like turn off the mic, but I didn't do it in time. And so after the class was over, we get like judged by our master instructor, and like everyone left. And it was like just me and him and like the people in our group. And I walked over with my binder, flipped it open to take notes, and went, "Okay, can I start by saying I know?"
Yes.
And he goes, "As long as you know," I was like, "I do, so we don't even need to address it.
We don't have
what other notes do you have
it.
For me?"
Yes, keep it pushing, sir.
He was like, "Okay." So yeah, we fought the good fight.
That's actually similar to my grinning and bearing it. Yesterday, I had a really rough day at work, and everyone at my team is so kind, but I forgot to have something couriered. We had to get something couriered. We needed it immediately. And I forgot. And I had to go beg. I had to beg a lot of people. I grinned and bared it through begging a lot of people to help me, but they did.
Oh.
They did grin and bear. They did help me. I grinned and bared it. They helped me turn that frown upside down. And I guess I got through a really bad day yesterday and started all over today, but that was my smiling faces moment of the week. Was
gorgeous.
Basically barely getting through Monday.
Honestly, we'll take Monday's it. That's real. Like that.
That we want to so hear real. About your guys' smiling faces moments. So you've got to come and find us on our socials. Please send a follow, a share, a like. If you're listening to this podcast right now and you like what you're hearing, drop in a review, because it turns out those are super handy. And if you aren't
helpful.
So helpful, but only 5 stars.
Only. I swear
allow us to
see less than 5. See me after class.
Slide into our DMs on Instagram at smilingfaces_series. You can also find us on TikTok at smilingfaces_series. We're on Facebook at smilingfaces_series, no underscore. And of course, we're on YouTube, www.youtube.com/@smilingfaces_series.
We also have an official website. It is smilingfacesseries.com. Shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media, and our producer, Mike Bryant, and Defiantly Me Productions. Thought I'd throw some new ones in there for you
one
to
shot.
Be pissed at. And we got a little Hamilton fun.
Thank you. It's my
blah, blah, blah.
That's what makes me think of that.
Mike is like, I hate you both.
For the love of God, end the show. For the love of God.
Bye.
Bye bye now.